And would you bow in prayer with me? Lord, we're delighted this morning that we know your love and that it comes to meet us in places like a worship service, speaking to those of us who might be looking over the fence at forbidden fruit today, tempted to eat. And oh Lord, how we pray your love will open our eyes and lift us above the temptation so we won't have to pay the consequences. And then I think of those of us who have already crawled the fence and eaten the fruit, and we have that guilt and the brokenness at our feet. We would ask you to lift us above that guilt and that remorse by that love that hung on a cross that we might be forgiven, and help us to understand that and receive it and find a new beginning. To that end, I pray you'll bless our time of study in Scripture today, that you'll accomplish in our personal lives that individual thing you had in mind when you invited us here. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, I want us to learn together what the Bible says about desires that obsess us, desires that destroy our contentment, desires that drive us away from God and often from other people, desires that, if satisfied, will not bring the fulfillment and happiness they promise. These destructive desires the Bible calls cravings. And for the sake of the message this morning, a craving is an addictive yearning for that which God has forbidden us to have because he knows it's not best for us. A craving is anything we put ahead of God and that hinders our relationship with him. Now, please note, a craving in itself is not sin. We all have cravings. I crave chocolate. I'm a classic chocoholic, and I learned that last night. We had a party at our house the other night, and I didn't get any of the chocolate cake. So my wife baked one. I got home from both services last night after preaching this message, and I was only going to have a little bit. I ate half of it. And I am absolutely helpless when it comes to seized candy or chocolate in our house. You just have to have it away. I don't think that's sin. I hope not. But to act on a desire forbidden by God is a sin. I want us to study this text that offers us some wisdom about coping with our cravings. First, the text warns that to chase forbidden cravings is to chase a lie. And that's an important insight. Satan, from the beginning, is making promises he can't keep about the forbidden. Satisfaction promised by acquiring what God has forbidden is a myth. You're not missing anything. Craving for the forbidden is part of our old nature, says Scripture, from which knowing Jesus should be in the process of setting us free. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul writes, "As for you, you were dead in transgressions and sins in which you used to live, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts." Craig Barnes, in his book Yearnings, describes how Christians become tempted to chase the lie of our cravings. Dreams haven't turned out as we planned. Marriages aren't what we had hoped for. Jobs long ago stopped offering fulfillment. Perhaps it's time to embark on a renewed quest for passion and rapture. Along the way, we will hurt a lot of people, but none more than ourselves. That's good wisdom. You see, the story of the Garden of Eden is all about craving for more than God has willed to give us. Adam and Eve were given the freedom to eat any tree in that garden except one. God said the day they ate the forbidden fruit, they would die. The serpent contradicted God, claiming that eating the fruit instead of causing death would open their eyes, it would make them like God, and that was a lie, but they didn't find out it was a lie until they had fallen for the temptation. Tempted by the serpent's words, Adam and Eve became increasingly unable to enjoy the richness of the rest of God's garden. They fixated on one tree that God had forbidden them to eat, and they finally succumbed to desire, and they ate the fruit. And of course, we weren't there, but no doubt eating that fruit gave them incredible initial pleasure. So much so, they didn't even realize what was happening to them. And that's how sin works. Surrendering to cravings for the forbidden can give an initial rush, can give a high so powerful we don't even realize the act is causing death to our bodies, death to our marriage, death to our career. There was a recent television special on heroin addiction. A woman was describing how initially heroin gave her this incredible sense of warmth she had never known in her whole life. She said it was the best feeling she had ever experienced in her life. However, with time, her body needed more and more to acquire the same high. And she calculated that at one point her addiction cost her $100,000 a year, plus the loss of everything she valued. Eating forbidden fruit cost Adam and Eve their enjoyment of God's garden and ultimately cost them their lives. God was telling the truth. The serpent was telling a lie. Surrendering to obsessive craving for that which God forbids is called sin. This is a classic definition, and this is what the church is all about, to try to deliver us from that which would destroy us. From the beginning, sin is our attempt to reconstruct the boundaries of God according to our appetites and desires. Forbidden fruit is attractive because we allow ourselves to fall for the lie that if we can just acquire what God has forbidden us to have, we're going to really live. And then we compare ourselves with others who have what we don't. And we convince ourselves as we continue being obsessed with this craving that we deserve it, that God's ripped us off. So we're going to take it. As Craig Barnes writes, our fundamental human anxiety is rooted in that which we don't possess, which we were never created to possess. Temptation is always a lie. Temptation tells us that the thing that's missing can and should be ours. Have you ever felt that way? Those feelings are not from God. They're from the evil one who exists and whose one purpose in his destiny is to destroy us. And that's how he does it. I find it interesting that the bliss promised by acquiring the forbidden, most of us already know, especially those of us here today, we know intellectually it's a lie. We know the devil can't produce what he promises, but we want it to be true. We want it to be true because it promises a way out of our boredom and our emptiness into fulfillment and wholeness, and we'll do anything to get there. As one writer puts it, there may be 999 good trees to which we can go and find nourishment for our souls, but we pitch our tent under the one tree that's forbidden. We stare at it. We dream about it. We want so much to experience the happiness we believe will come from that fruit that we're blinded to the good gifts God has already given us. And we'll gladly exchange them all of the splendor of God's good work, for one forbidden trinket he hasn't given us. That's the human tragedy. So let me ask you today, what craving so possesses you that you're willing to risk the rest of God's blessings in your garden to acquire it? What are you looking over at the fence at and perhaps just about ready to pick? Is it the achievement just beyond your grasp? The purchase you can't afford? The affirmation you can't seem to get? The relationship that promises to fulfill all of your emotional needs? Like Adam and Eve, reaching for that forbidden fruit, rather than bringing you satisfaction, can cost you everything. And that's maybe what God had in mind when he invited you to church today. Satisfaction promised from eating forbidden fruit is a lie. But everything geared out in that world says, I've got to have it. And it feeds that desire. And this is why we come to worship, to have the light of Scripture and the Holy Spirit open our eyes so we don't get blinded and deluded and seduced. So that leads us to a second truth. If chasing the forbidden is a lie, what can we do to escape the bondage of our cravings? Or even, what can we do if we've already fallen for the fruit? Is there any hope for a new beginning? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth, in contrast to the lie, will make you free. I'm convinced only God can open our eyes to the truth that nothing in this world he forbids can satisfy the hunger in our souls. I've lived long enough and been in ministry long enough to know that some of you are on a rush toward the forbidden. There's nothing in this service that can stop you but God. That's how powerful sin is. But I'm convinced God can stop us. Freedom from craving for the forbidden happens when we will make a choice to submit ourselves to the boundaries that God has placed in our garden and believe this is best for us and trust Him. And for those of us who've already climbed over the fence, we can confess our enslavement to certain forbidden fruit that we've already eaten, places where we've hopelessly blown it, and we can ask God to forgive us. And through Jesus, He will give us the freedom of a new beginning so we can go back and enjoy the rest of the garden. It's a fact of human life. Most of us learn the hard way that Satan lies when he says God's laws restrict our joy and fulfillment. After eating forbidden fruit, we who've done it know too well the mess sin causes. Instead of freedom, we find slavery. Instead of joy, we drown in guilt. And the good news is that confessing and turning from our sin sets us free again. And it gives us power to say no to the lies of the tempter. That's the good news of the gospel. Maybe learning from others can also help set us free from bondage to cravings. Every day we read in the papers people who are suffering the consequences of chasing the forbidden. You who are young, remember Kurt Cobain, leader of the grunge rock group Nirvana. He committed suicide recently after a long history of alcohol and drug abuse. This young man in his 20s lost his family, his career, and his life because he ate forbidden fruit. How many people do you know right now who are sacrificing their homes and families because they will not accept God's boundaries for marriage? How many do you know who are sacrificing their physical, their emotional, and their spiritual health because they crave more money and more power, and it's a black hole and you can never get enough? How many do you know who crave the so-called peninsula lifestyle so much they don't really have time to live? Life is one piece of stress, and you're not free to do what you really want to do. When in the wilderness, Israel craved for the forbidden, and this is what the Bible writes. In the desert, they gave into their craving, and so he gave them what they asked for, but he sent a wasting disease among them. You know, I'm convinced that many Christians today have a wasting disease because we're craving more than what God has given. Seen fit to give us. It's dangerous to chase the forbidden, folks. Let's learn from these warnings in Scripture. Perhaps it's time in a worship service, like right now, to say to the Lord, there is nothing more I want on earth than to be content with what you've seen fit to give me and where you've placed me. I trust you. I want you to help me readjust my priorities around your will. Help me to focus on what's going to be important to me 100 years from now rather than fall for some passing lust that's only going to consume me and take everything of value. I want to trust you enough to wait for you to satisfy my hungers in your way and time. Help me to make your love sufficient to lift me from the pits of discontentment into which I so easily fall. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. So if the Son makes you free, you're going to be free indeed." And that's the good news I offer to you today. Freedom. Freedom from the delusion of the lie of chasing the forbidden. And so as we go to prayer, it would be appropriate to take a few moments of silence today to let the Holy Spirit speak to us, and perhaps in these moments to give God those areas where we're beating our heads against His boundaries, or to let Him wash us clean from where we have eaten forbidden fruit. Let's surrender our craving for the forbidden to Him. Would you take just a few moments with me and let the Spirit search our souls together? Lord, we confess that you alone can satisfy the hungers in our soul. Give us wisdom to allow only you to fill our cup, to fill us until we want no more.